asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Ollie Barrett. G7 leaders are gathering in Canada for a summit on the eve of which US President Donald Trump clashed with French President Emmanuel Macron and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Donald Trump's responded angrily to criticism over his trade policy ahead of the meeting and is set to leave early. Emmanuel Macron's suggested the US will be isolated at the summit for the grouping of advanced economies. Harry Horton reports from Washington.
President Trump will be the last to arrive and the first to leave the G7 summit in Canada. US allies have made no secret of their outrage at what they see as Mr. Trump's isolationist economic policies, describing recent metal tariffs as absurd, illegal, and unacceptable. An awkward and tense meeting lies ahead, where President Trump's America First agenda will face strong rebukes. On Twitter, Mr. Trump lashed out at criticism from European leaders, signalling he has no intention of relenting on his aggressive trade demands. After the G7, Mr. Trump will fly to Singapore, where he's hoping for a far warmer reception from Kim Jong-un of North Korea.
CNN says its presenter and celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain has died at the age of 61. He reportedly committed suicide in France, where he was filming. UK Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson suggested Donald Trump would be doing a better job of Brexit negotiations than Prime Minister Theresa May. Comments at a private dinner have been leaked in which he called for more guts in Brexit talks. And Mr. Johnson suggested if the US president was leading negotiations, he would go in hard, but might actually get somewhere. Boris biographer Sonia Purnell doesn't think he really believes that.
Behaving like Donald Trump with the EU would be a disaster. Boris knows that. He and I were both working in Brussels together for the Daily Telegraph. He's got the EU in his DNA. He knows perfectly well that that would not work.
The International Monetary Fund's agreed a $50 billion loan for Argentina to boost its struggling economy. If the funding gets final sign-off from the IMF board, it would be for a three-year package of support. Argentina's government made the controversial decision to ask the IMF for help on May the 8th and is promising to tackle high inflation and public spending as part of the deal. Hundreds of Indian farmers have destroyed their own produce as a mark of protest in the city of Amroha. Farmers are demanding better prices from the government, as Neha Punia reports.
The symbolic protest in the Indian state of Uttar Pradesh saw hundreds of farmers dump their crops on roads and destroy their own produce. The farmers claim that the prices they get from local markets aren't enough to cover the production and transport expenditure. Farmers in India are on a 10-day-long protest demanding better sale prices and loan waivers from the government.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Should have never left Monsanto and BT Cotton into India, but that's for another day. Hello, how are you? It's Friday, the 8th of June, 2018. My name is Richie Allen. It's just after four, it's 3 minutes past four as I talk to you live. Hope you've had a good day. This show, well, put it in, or put it on even, in place of my absence on Tuesday. Glad to be with you. Thanks for tuning in. And you're tuning in your droves. You can tweet me, of course, over the course of the next hour or thereabouts. The Twitter handle is at Richie Allen Show.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show. It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Another very muggy, very humid day. Not so much sunshine around today, but it's going to come back tomorrow, apparently, as the UK enjoys this incredible run of good weather. It is Friday. This program is live right now on Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, Tune In Radio, triggerwarning.tv, and richieallen.co.uk. I've had a good look around the world. There's some very interesting stories, stories which fit in with the general theme of the things we talk about here at the Richie Allen Show. So I've got some interesting stuff to talk with you about over the course of the next hour. And just to reiterate, if you've got an opinion, please tweet it to me now. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Alrighty. You might have heard Ollie Barrett there in the news talking about the G7 summit. Do you know what the G7 is? All joking aside, like, do you know what the G7 is? It's a puppet show, of course. The G7 summit, Canada, the US, the UK, France, Italy, Japan, and Germany. The leaders of those countries meeting in Quebec in Canada over the next day or so. It's a puppet show. It is. The leaders of those nations, which, if you believe the press, and I suppose you have to believe this, the leaders of those nations represent more than 60% of global net worth. Well, they meet every year, and economics is on the agenda, climate change, all this sort of stuff. It's a puppet show. Because while that's going on, I know you'll probably be aware of this, maybe some of you won't be, but the Bilderberg meeting is going on in Turin until Sunday. That's Turin, Fiat, of course, Fiat town, not Fiat currency, Fiat, the car making plant. That's going on in Turin, the Bilderberg group, and that's where the Rothschild, Rockefeller, Warburg and Oppenheimer cartels basically groom future presidents and future captains of industry. And it's where they set the agenda for the next 12 months and beyond. So the irony is thick. All is focused on the G7, which is just a puppet show. You heard Ollie Barrett in the news there. Trump is going to leave early. He's been tweeting angrily against Macron and Trudeau and Theresa May. It's just bullshit. It's just nonsense. It's a puppet show. While the alt-right and the alt-left munch popcorn and laugh. And across the other side of the pond, in Italy, you have Bilderberg. Don't ever forget, Dennis Healy told Channel 4, in fact, told, what was his name? John Ronson, who made a series of films about conspiracies back in the year 2000. Dennis Healy, politician, former, he's dead now, Dennis Healy, told John Ronson to say we were striving for a one-world government isn't wholly unfair. Those of us in Bilderberg felt we couldn't go on forever fighting one another for nothing and killing people and rendering millions homeless, so we felt that a single community throughout the world would be a good thing. That's what Healy said. That's problem, reaction, solution right there. Cause all these problems, wars, terrorism, lunacy, and then say, oh, we can't have this anymore, we've got to have a one world government. So Bilderberg is on. Tony Gosling, of course, Bilderberg.org, no better man to follow when it comes to Bilderberg than Tony Gosling. Incidentally, Mark Carney, the governor of the Bank of England, and the former Chancellor of the Exchequer, George Osborne, who's now the editor of the Evening Standard, those two are attending the meeting this weekend. I mean, the cheek of Gideon Osborne. What a bastard. He's reinvented himself as a journalist, and yet he's taking part in a top secret meeting. He must swear secrecy. He must swear not to divulge what was discussed and what was said by whom. If I was a reporter at the Evening Standard, I swear by God and by Sonny Jesus, I would resign symbolically. How could you sit next to Gideon Osborne? You couldn't not ask him, George, what were you thinking when you were putting squabs, which is baby pigeons, in the rectums of other men until the birds suffocated? What were you thinking about, you sick bastard? Bilderberg.org, Tony Gosling, he's the man. Tony's the man. Love Tony. Do you want to hear a nursery rhyme? No? Well, you're going to hear one anyway. It's a nursery. It is a Friday, after all. There is no drink involved. I haven't imbibed, and I probably won't imbibe today because I had a skinful at the concert on Tuesday and I haven't quite recovered from that. So it's likely I shall be dry until the next concert. Do you want to hear a nursery rhyme? Go on, I'm going to sing you a nursery rhyme. I've not ever been regarded as much of a singer, even though the country from which I originated Well, we have the world's greatest singers and songwriters and storytellers. Do you want to hear a nursery rhyme? You don't? I'm going to play it for you anyway. I need some music. I'm not very good without musical accompaniment. I've got to be quick on the draw here. Here's a nursery rhyme. I missed me cue, you see. I couldn't organise the piss up in a brewery. Let's try that again. Okay, are we ready? Are we ready? Oh, Jesus Christ, hang on. Oh, my God. Right, here we go. Lock down, lock down. Shut the door. Shut the lights off. Say no more. Go behind the desk and hide. Wait until it's safe inside. Lock down, lock down. It's all done. Now it's time to have some fun. What do you think that's all about? To the tune of Twinkle Twinkle. What are you saying? You couldn't make head or tail of what I was singing? That's okay. Lockdown, lockdown, shut the door, shut the lights off, say no more. Go behind the desk and hide, wait until it's safe inside. Lockdown, lockdown, it's all done. Now it's time to have some fun. This was on a poster in a school in Somerville, Massachusetts, and it caught the attention of Georgie Cohen and her husband Rick Healy, and it had, it shocked them basically. It was printed in multicoloured markers. And alongside this text were three images: a lock with a key in it, a hand turning off the lights, and a person holding a finger to his lips. Now, this couple told the Washington Post that they came across this poster when they were visiting the school on Wednesday as part of an official tour for parents. Parents who might want to send their school to the kindergarten in the fall. The father said that he was saddened to see the poster, but he recognised why the approach might be necessary in an era of school shootings. Let's get kindergarten children singing this song. RT has been all over this story. You might want to listen to Samira Khan. Here's Samira Khan. This is mad stuff for a Friday.
Imagine picking up your five-year-old from kindergarten and seeing a strange nursery rhyme taped to the wall. A reworked version of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star with ominous lyrics.
Lock down, lock down, lock the door. Shut the lights off, say no more. Go behind the desk and hide. Wait until it's safe inside. Lock down, lock down, it's all done. Now it's time to have some fun.
That picture was posted by a Massachusetts mom who was taken aback when she learned her daughter had been doing active shooter drills as part of her pre-kindergarten program. But she's not the only one. Another mom had a similar experience.
My girls were playing teacher this past weekend. They had math time, snack time, a reading nook, and practiced their active shooter drill.
Earlier this week, a class of 8th graders in Pennsylvania were given bulletproof shields for their backpacks. A local sportswear company thought it would be a perfect gift for middle school graduation. The company's CEO, who happens to have a daughter at that school, gifted shields to all of her classmates and an extra 25 to the school.
In the time of need, the student can put it on this way. The student can hold it up to protect their face.
Although perhaps it's worth noting bulletproof shields don't provide protection against assault weapons, which have been most commonly used in mass shootings. But the company won plenty of publicity with such an unconventional graduation gift. And there are also those who try to make money off the mass shootings theme. Last month, a video game designed to simulate a school shooting sparked major public outrage, and it was removed from a distributing platform. It offered users an opportunity to play as either the killer or a SWAT officer trying to catch the gunman.
Did you hear that? They're giving children backpacks that double as bulletproof shields. While children are playing video games about school shootings, where you can choose to assume the character of either the shooter or the police. You see, they're putting the fear of God into children. Babies, basically. Kindergarten children. To change them. To change their natural mindset, which is to be fearless and to be open and to be carefree, change that through trauma so that they're constantly shitting themselves. Because we know traumatizing children opens their minds up to suggestion and to manipulation. We've heard this from CIA agents, from psychologists and from psychotherapists on this show. And I was thinking about this today. There are days gone by when maybe the natural response for the parent who's gone to the open day. So you've gone to the open day and you see this rhyme to the tune of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Previously, presumably, the natural response was to say, well, I'm not sending my child to that school. That's madness. I might as well, you know, homeschool the child or go somewhere else where they're not terrifying them by making them take part in active shooter drills. Madness, isn't it? Isn't it madness? Yeah, 15 and a half minutes past four here in the UK. Boris Johnson, the UK Foreign Secretary, but for who knows how long, as you heard in the news, has been criticising the UK government's Brexit talk strategy. He suggested they have no guts and that Donald Trump could do a better job. He also took a swipe at Chancellor of the Exchequer Philip Hammond. He basically said that the Treasury Department is the heart of Remain. Now, Johnson made these comments to a private dinner. He said the Brexit talks were heading for meltdown and that Leave supporters might not get the deal they expected. Well, we're not surprised. We've been saying it for ages. Downing Street said Theresa May had full confidence in Bojo as Theresa May sharpened her knives and aimed them at Boris's back. Do you want to hear a little bit of what Bojo said about Trump and Brexit? It's only a short clip. Have a listen.
Imagine Trump doing Brexit. What would he do? He'd go in bloody hard. You know, there'd be all sorts of breakdowns. There'd be all sorts of chaos. Everyone would think he'd gone mad. But actually, you might get something. So, very, very good call.
The audio is terrible, but I can't do anything with it. It came from the BBC. Trump would go in hard and he would get somewhere. Johnson said the UK could remain locked in orbit around the European Union, basically not leaving. And we're not surprised by that. Sky News' Beth Rigby, journalist, very good journalist. Here she is with analysis, interesting analysis of what's going on with Johnson and with these Brexit talks.
What he actually said in substance, you wouldn't be that surprised about. He was reiterating his view of Brexit, but he was quite critical of the Prime Minister and her negotiating strategy. Look, she's just come out of 24 hours where one of her other very senior Brexiteers, the Brexit Secretary David Davis, nearly walked out of her cabinet over disagreements over her backstop plan. The suggestion being that the Brexiteers in cabinet not happy with the direction that the Brexit negotiations are going in. And what we had last night when these extracts emerged was more detail really about how Boris Johnson has got his concerns too. Let's have a little, I'll give a couple of things of what he actually said. On the issue of Brexit talks, he said, I think Theresa's going to go into a phase where we're much more combative with Brussels. We've got to face the fact there may now be a meltdown, OK? I don't want anyone to panic during the meltdown. It's all going to be right in the end. So a sense of the turmoil felt in government as they look towards that EU withdrawal bill. And then on the issue of a soft Brexit, he said, the risk is that we'll end up in a sort of anteroom of the EU with an orbit around the EU in a customs union and to a large extent in the single market. Now, that's the big fear of the Brexiteers. And I think there was some relief from them today, certainly, that Boris Johnson is trying to argue their case in cabinet. So it's not necessarily a bad news story for him.
Yeah, well, if I was a Brexiteer, I wouldn't be getting too excited that Boris Johnson was complaining about the negotiations. And I wouldn't get too excited that Johnson seems to be agreeing with us, saying that we're going to end up as a vassal state of the EU or as some sort of associate member. Johnson doesn't care. He is establishment to the bone. A Rothschild Zionist of monumental proportions. Do you remember only a couple of weeks ago, Johnson ran from the chamber as Emily Thornberry, the shadow foreign secretary, stood up to ask him a question about the murder of Palestinians in Gaza. Johnson fled, leaving a deputy to answer the question. He is a Rothschild puppet whoremaster. That's all he is. So what he might be doing, Johnson, is positioning himself for a leadership bid in the Tory party. But don't think for a minute that Johnson is going to swoop in, save the day and walk away from the European Union with no deal. It's not going to happen. It's as simple as that. This is more of the puppet show that we talked about earlier on with the G7. It's all a never-ending drama. I've spoken and written about this. It's an area of research that I'm very interested in. It's my area of research. This idea that what we're seeing is nothing but staged and scripted drama to engage the left and the right, and particularly through social media, in an eternal war with one another without ever trying to really understand what's going on as well. Right? That's what's going on. Don't put your hopes in Johnson. Don't put your hopes in Jacob Rees-Mogg, terminological inexactitude, darling, or any of that. Do you know what? We've not heard from wee Jimmy Cranky for ages. I was thinking that today. It's been a while since we heard from Jimmy. Jimmy Cranky is Scotland's first minister. Proper Muppet. Complete Muppet. Wants independence for Scotland. Freedom! But then wants to sell the country out to the European Union. She's not well, is Jimmy Cranky. Here she is talking about Boris Johnson today.
Well, I think it's yet more evidence that Boris Johnson is not fit to hold the high office that he does. It's not the first time he's made embarrassing, ill-judged comments. I'm pretty sure it won't be the last time. But it also shows, in my view, that Boris Johnson is not really interested in the best interests of the country. He's not interested in people's jobs and livelihoods. He's just interested in currying favour with the hardline Brexiteers in his own party. I mean, I've even heard it suggested, I have no way of knowing if it's true, that he leaked the, you know, recorded comments himself. So, you know, I don't know. Well, I was going to say I don't know why Theresa May still has him in her cabinet. I suspect I do know, because her cabinet is so divided that she doesn't have the authority and the ability to sack him. But I think it's incredible that he's still the Foreign Secretary of the UK.
I wonder, does she have any proof that the comments were leaked or the audio was leaked by Johnson or somebody close to Johnson? I'm not saying it hasn't been, but those are pretty serious allegations to make without any proof. Jimmy Cranky there. Now, Michelle Barnier, the EU chief negotiator, said today, for the 500th time in a row, that the EU rejects the latest UK proposals to solve what is the so-called Irish border problem. The European Union wants to keep Northern Ireland in the customs union. That's their backstop plan, okay? But the UK and the Brexit Secretary David Davis said, no way, you can't create a hard border between countries in the United Kingdom, the UK and Northern Ireland. So yesterday, the UK proposed that we all stay in some sort of customs arrangement until 2021 at the latest, to give us some breathing room to sort it all out. Unsurprisingly, Michel Barnier said no.
Let me recall that our backstop in this document provides answer to each of these questions. It provides specific solutions to the unique situation of Northern Ireland. The UK is taking a different angle, however. It is looking for a UK-wide solution. Let me be very clear. Our backstop cannot be extended to the whole UK.
Now, there you go. No matter what the UK proposes, the European Union says no. We heard from Peter Bone yesterday. He's a Conservative Member of Parliament. Bone was pretty clear on how you deal with tyrants like the European Union. It's all very simple.
But in relation to this backstop thing, it's totally unnecessary. And in my view, we need to have someone who's driving the Brexit policy who absolutely believes in it. And that's the only chance. But I think we've probably got the time now.
To go, Peter.
Probably we've got to a stage now where we say, a deal on world trade rules is much better than anything we could possibly get. And it may be the time just to say, we're not negotiating with you anymore, EU, you've been an impossible organisation to negotiate with. We're going to come out at the end of March next year, save £39 billion, regain our own fishing rights, have our own immigration policy, make our own trade deals, and make our own laws in our own country, judged by our own judges. That's what the people voted for in the referendum. And why is it so many politicians now are trying to stop that happening?
Because they're Rothschild Zionist puppets. It's as simple as that. I agree with everything he said there, except the part about March next year. Leave now. Now. Tear it all up. Rip it up. They want to play brinkmanship. You've got all the cards. You've got all the... You've got all the strength in these negotiations. You just have to mention, time and again, they sell far more to the UK than the UK sells to them. There won't be any tariffs or any punishment. Rip it all up. Walk away. No negotiation. No associate membership. And no what they call transition period. None of that. We're out. We're gone. Bye-bye. That's what they should do. But they won't do it. Because neither Theresa May, nor Philip Hammond, nor even Boris Johnson or Jacob Rees-Mogg is really determined to leave the European Union. The only one who seems to be serious about it is David Davis, God bless him. This is Friday, the 8th of June 2018. I want to say hi to Tammy Heater. How you doing, Tammy? Thanks for listening to the programme. Tammy is living the American dream and is located in the woods. Not a bad place to be located. Cheers for the tweet, Tammy. You can tweet the programme at any time during the next, 30, 35 minutes or thereabouts. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Dub Love says, crack me up with the Jimmy Cranky comparison there, Richie. I can't claim that, Dub Love. Somebody else a long time ago likened her to Jimmy Cranky, Fandabby Dozy. She is very like her. Cartoon Drunk tweets, when the public realises that democracy is an illusion, when Brexit never happens, will they do anything about it? No. Will they still vote for the corrupt establishment in elections? Yes, tweets Cartoon Drunk there. Hi to Bob Stew. How you doing, Bob Stew? I was mostly surprised, Richie, to see that Bojo had the physical ability to actually run when he ran out of the House of Parliament a few weeks ago when Emily Thornberry wanted to ask him about Gaza. That's right. Paul tweets, how you doing, Paul? Afternoon, Mr. Allen. No need for the Mr. Paul. Not to a gouger like me. So the BBC has become so sycophantic with the establishment that it has resorted to distorting audio when it's covering the twattery of people like Johnson. I guess it saves most of us the trouble of having to listen to his shit, says Paul. Paul, in this case, the BBC didn't distort the audio. Somebody who was at the dinner with Johnson recorded it using a smartphone, hence the pretty garbled audio. Hi to These Are the Damned and to Mwinga as well, who says, why is Bojo always comparing us to Trump? Is he allies with him for when he becomes the Prime Minister? Says Mwinga. I don't know. Tell you what I do know. Going to take a very quick break. 28 minutes past four. Back real soon with plenty more Friday's Richie Allen Show.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today. Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
Welcome back to the program. Tiger Johnson tweets, all schools will now play Richie's new version of Twinkle Twinkle just to cement the fear into the children. Just kidding, says Tiger. That was beautiful. It wasn't beautiful. Never been able to sing. You can't have as many talents as I obviously have and be able to sing. That wouldn't be fair now, would it? Right. He says in jest, Trevor the Mule tweets, hi Richie, whenever you hear a politician say, let me be clear, you'll know it's bullshit o'clock. Yeah. Can't argue with that. Keep the tweets coming in. Lots of them already today, which is good. At Richie Allen Show on Twitter. This is some story, this major story this week. It was in the Independent newspaper yesterday. I didn't have a lot of time to get into it on the programme last night. Listen carefully. It's an English-centric story, but it has ramifications for everybody in the world, no matter where you are. This is what's coming down the line. This is not fear porn. Listen to this. The policies of austerity have resulted in 4 million people in this country going to a food bank because they are starving. And I wrote about this today on richieallen.co.uk. 4 million people going to a food bank. Is that because of bad planning, mismanagement, bad politics? Is it just because of idiocy? Or is it because of something far more sinister, because degradation and widespread poverty are in fact the agenda? Well, if you listen to this programme, you'll know that I think it's the agenda. And I've believed that for a long time. Took me a long time to come to terms with it. Anyway, this week, the Joseph Rowntree Foundation called the government's social security policy changes. They called it destitution by design. This is a remarkable development. Charities are now actually seeing through what is happening to people and are seeing that it is by design, not because of mismanagement or poor decision making. Now, the Independent newspaper yesterday, and I said today, this is Pulitzer Prize stuff. It really is. Their social affairs correspondent, May Bullman, wrote that an exclusive poll commissioned by the Independent reveals that 1 in 14 Britons has had to use a food bank, with similar numbers of people forced to skip meals and borrow money because austerity measures leave them penniless with nowhere to turn. And you know where they borrow money from, folks? From these payday lenders, these bastards. People that allegedly Jesus Christ drove out of the temple. People who charge 900, 1,000, 1,200% APR. Yeah, come and borrow money from me. I'll help you get through to the next payday. Once you get in there, you're screwed. Didn't the BBC have a documentary last week or the week before where a man had a couple of parking fines, got up to his absolute neck in debt and had to go to these payday companies? It spiralled out of control and the poor bugger, God love him, killed himself. This is where it's going. More than 1.5 million people were destitute in the UK last year. This is brilliant stuff by the Independent, and it's brilliant stuff by charities to finally acknowledge it is by design. Most people can't get their heads around that. You know this. You and I have been talking for how long now on this programme? 3.5 years. 3¾ years. We know that our neighbours, our friends, don't want to contemplate it. It's not bad management, you dunce. It's by design. Now, Simon Duffy is the director of the Centre for Welfare Reform. He spoke with RT and he offered his own definition of austerity and his own definition of destitution, Simon Duffy.
Yeah, well, what's happened is the Joseph Roundy Foundation has defined this even sharper sense of poverty, which is people who can't meet the very basic elements of things that we need to live, having enough food, having basic shelter, having clothing that's adequate. So the UK already has a huge problem of poverty, huge problem of inequality, and destitution is the sharpest end of that problem.
And one major criticism is, of course, of the universal credit system. Of course, the government says it's seeing people moving into work faster, staying in work longer than under the older system. And generally, though, isn't the universal credit system working? It's just merely the teething problems, the way it's being implemented.
It's too early to say whether it's working and working compared to what. The UK has very high levels of employment and very high levels of poverty. So what the UK has done rather uniquely is managed to get people into work, but on very low incomes and lots of very, very low job security. So we have a lot of people going into work, then coming out of work and not having enough to live on. The poorest 10%, for instance, who have a post-tax income of £50 a week, which is a pitiful income to live on, many of them pay income tax because the system isn't smart enough to tax them properly. So people are being overtaxed, they're paying council tax, they're paying VAT, and living on these tiny incomes. So the whole system is a disaster for the poor and has not been designed to really respect the interests of people on low incomes.
No, it's been designed to kill them. It really has, and it's great that leading charities are beginning to see it for what it is. Look at Agenda 21, Agenda 30. And I said today in the article I wrote for richieallen.co.uk, this is taboo for many people. They can't get their heads around it. And you know why? What really, it doesn't upset me, but what bewilders me is people can't imagine their government doing it while their governments are killing millions of people in proxy wars in Yemen, Syria, Libya, and everywhere else. It's amazing, isn't it? Aussie wouldn't do that to us. Why? Do you think they like you? It's just those people in Yemen that they don't care about, is it? And in Syria, is it? But you're okay in their eyes. Madness. You know, The Independent isn't in print anymore. It's a broadsheet newspaper, like a lot of newspapers that's gotten into trouble because of the rise of the internet. And its circulation decreased to the point that it basically stopped printing the paper. And it exists now only as an online news paper, e-zine, bureau, whatever you want to call it. But maybe as these newspaper circulations start to collapse, as they dwindle, maybe some editors will think, you know, there's a lot to be said for telling the truth. Because once they start to tell the truth, these newspapers, as The Independent has done, people, I believe, will re-engage with them and get away from the internet. The festival of lies and the echo chamber that is Facebook and Twitter. Get away from it. Get back to reading newspapers. If they start telling the truth, as The Independent did today. Alrighty. And on that story, The Mail today, that's the UK's Daily Mail, has a story where they showed an interactive map which shows the future job losses that will occur when robots, basically, and artificial intelligence take over so many areas where people, so many industries, I should say, where people are employed today. It's incredible. By 2030, which is nothing, it's only a few years away, they reckon that artificial intelligence and robots could and probably will see the loss of 3 million jobs in this country. Isn't that incredible? And if you think that's not connected to these policies of austerity, which are causing millions and millions of people to go to food banks, you have to have another think. It's directly related to it. This is the extermination of people, is what it is. And the Mail quotes a guy called Liam Byrne, who's a Labour Member of Parliament. He's a former minister. And he said, this could be a real wake, or should be a real wake-up call for politicians. He said, unless we face the future now and put big plans in place to help workers deal with the change that's coming, we're going to leave millions of workers struggling with low pay, no pay, or poverty. Liam, that's the plan, man. That's the plan. It's by design, as the Joseph Rowntree Foundation has finally realised. And Liam, God love you, MP, people way above you in the food chain made those decisions, pal. The plan's to make millions unemployed, then homeless, then dead. 20 minutes to 5 this Friday, June 8th, 2018. That's not paranoia. It's not tinfoil hat stuff. It's a fact. It's what's coming. 1 in 4 children in the United States go to bed hungry every day. This is a fact. Think about that. And it's getting worse. In this world of plenty, as the great song once said. Wrote about this today as well. I'm going to change tack slightly. This isn't new, but it's now being acknowledged for the first time by so-called experts. Wrote about this today. Imagine you're having lunch with a friend and you ask your friend where you're going for your summer holiday. Your friend says, going to Spain, going to Tenerife, going to go wherever. Of course, your friend will say, what about you, Rich? You going anywhere? And you say, well, I haven't made any plans yet, but friends of mine in work went to Croatia last year and they waxed lyrical about it. They won't shut up about Croatia. Right? Anyway, you finish lunch, you shake hands with your friend or you kiss your friend, you leave, you get into a taxi to go back to work and you switch on your smartphone. Or not switch it on, you unlock the screen. Because while the taxi is driving you to work, you want to have a look and see what's happening on Facebook. And bang, there's an ad for Croatia on your news feed. How did that happen? I wasn't on the phone. Croatia just came up. So Dr. Peter Henway is a senior security consultant for a firm called Asterisk. And my story came out of an interview that he did with Voice magazine. And he reckons keywords and phrases are being picked up by your phone's microphone and are being accessed by third-party apps like Facebook and Twitter. So, when you chat about being hungry and you say to your girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or whatever, wife, do you know what? Let's get a takeout. Let's get a takeaway. Let's order it online. And later on, let's go to the new Tarantino film in the local cinema. The apps on your phone send the relevant ads to your timeline because your microphone's being accessed. And it isn't illegal. It isn't illegal, not yet anyway. Although there is the 1998 Data Protection Act here, which says people have to consent to the data they share being used for advertisements. Now, Facebook, pathological liar Facebook, pathological liar Mark Zuckerberg, they say that they don't use people's microphones to gather information for advertising. They're liars. They're absolutely lying. I can't prove it definitively, but I know they're lying because this has happened to me. Because my phone, which I never access, I'm not one of these idiots playing with it, these zombies, I don't do that. But it's around because there are people contacting me about the show, guests and stuff like that, so it's around. I've often said to Caroline, my partner, you know, we might do this, we might do that, or whatever. And then bang, later on that evening, I'll see there's a message. Not a message, an ad. I don't use Facebook anymore, I'm gone from it. But that's the way it is. Unbelievable, right? So, what's really interesting about the story today is A, they're acknowledging it, but B, they're kind of talking about it from a marketing point of view. Marketing has got all to do with it. It's an added bonus. Your microphone is being accessed, yes, to specifically target you with ads that are relevant to you because they have been listening to your conversations, undoubtedly. But that's not the big thing here. The big thing here is listening to you talking about the world and your thoughts and your beliefs and what you know and what you don't know about the establishment. That's why the technology was really designed to monitor your conversations for any little indication that you might present a threat to the establishment. Do you know, I wrote today, I was thinking about this. The Home Office acknowledged, didn't it, last week, Sajid Javid, what an arsehole, said that there are tens of thousands of persons of interest on terror watch list. How do you think they got those names? It's not just through monitoring your email. It's not just through looking at your Facebook timeline. They're listening to your phones, even when your phones are not in use. And I made the point today, you could be in a meeting with a friend, You could be at a bar with a friend, coffee shop. Both of you might be open-minded to the conspiracy arena, to the alternative media. And you could be having a conversation about Syria, about Bashar al-Assad. You might say, Assad is in the right there. ISIS is a CIA creation, Mossad, and all of that. Bang! You're on a watch list because a red flag went up because your microphone is being accessed. This technology isn't new. They've had it for years and years and years and years. 15 minutes to 5 o'clock. The Richie Allen Show for Friday. Going to change course after this short break. We're going to talk about ageism. We're going to talk about senior citizens. Got something to say about that. Very interesting story today on the BBC that I picked up. Fab Radio 2, TuneIn Radio, TriggerWarning.tv and RichieAllen.co.uk. This is your Richie Allen Show, back in 90 seconds.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
Welcome back. Spirit Samba knows everything. To be fair, we have known this for quite some time about smartphones listening to people. It's old news, Richie. Burn your encyclopedias, pal. You know it all. Why are you even listening? It's not old news, mate. It's current news because it's happening now. And the majority of people around you and around me are not aware of it. They're not aware of it. This is the point of talking about it. And when tech heads are saying, oh, they're doing it for marketing, it's an opportunity to talk about it and say, well, it's not actually for marketing. Don't be such a know-all. Fucking hate these know-alls. Anyway, breathe. Love these know-alls. I had a tweet about growing vegetables and stuff like that from Lord Twat Waffle. Right. Lack of food is by design. Yes, it is, but we can all grow some of our own. Even on a windowsill, balcony, small garden, etc. Buy a few seeds from a local shop and you can grow 20 kilograms of potatoes in a barrel on a balcony with straw and compost. Yeah, why not? At least until somebody tells you that you can't do that. I agree. Dean Smith tweets, we went to the local garden centre recently and my boy was interested in looking at the iguanas. He asked for an iguana. I said no. Then the next ad on my Facebook was a commemorative tea towel for the royal wedding. Very good. I like it. Marvellous. Maybe it isn't perfect then yet, Dean. Maybe it isn't perfect. Keep the tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show. That's how to reach me on Twitter. As far as payday lenders go, Cartoon Drunk tweets, these online payday lenders keep sending you emails encouraging you to lend larger and larger amounts, encouraging you to borrow larger and larger amounts after you've paid them back, as they only make money by getting you into debt, not paying off your loans, and they have total control over your bank account. They are terrible, terrible, vicious organisations, these payday lenders. And, I mean, I've never, thankfully, I've never been in a situation where I've had to go to one of these organisations to borrow just to get me to the end of the month. But I've known people over the years who have had to use these organisations. Don't use them. You know, try a friend, try family, or else tell the utility companies or whatever to go and sod themselves. I know that's not so easy to do either. I want to finish with a couple of stories which are interesting as well. I mentioned ageism. This is a report that, I mean, this is you know, we've talked about the agenda to demonise old people and to make old people worthless in the eyes of the young. We've talked extensively about that on this programme. The Royal Society for Public Health, in partnership with the Kalust Gulbenkian Foundation, published findings on ageism, which reveal that there is widespread ageist attitudes among the public. Ageism, if you don't know, is the prejudice or discrimination on the basis of a person's age. It can manifest in people from a young age and result in them discriminating against older people. Very interesting report on BBC News today by Richard Galpin about this. Have a listen to this.
Negative attitudes towards the elderly are endemic, affecting the health and well-being of everyone as they grow old. These are conclusions of the Royal Society for Public Health, which has carried out its own survey. It suggests almost a third of the population believes loneliness is normal when you get old, while 40% of young adults or millennials believe dementia is an inescapable part of ageing, and a quarter of them think it's normal for elderly people to be depressed and unhappy. Those behind today's report say these negative attitudes need changing.
We wouldn't say negative things around race or sex, but actually on ageing, it's really surprising at how much ageism there is. Often media perpetrates a lot of this, of the ageism. So it starts it and then it reinforces it, you know, the bed blocking, the ageing time bomb.
Here in a Finsbury workshop near Sadler's Wells, 70-year-old men and women have started work again to bring a new interest into the enforced leisure of their old age.
But ageism goes back decades. This film from the 1950s, typical of the time, when old age was often portrayed as a long slide into irrelevance and decline. Amongst the most powerful ways of turning all this around are projects like this one, which brings together the different generations, strengthening the bonds between them, ending isolation, and proving getting older can also be joyous.
This is deliberate, and we talked about this before so many times. This is conditioning a generation to think that old people are useless, and that old people are useless eaters. They're no longer slaving in the factories, slaving in the offices. You know, when they did slave in the factories, when they did slave in the offices, the state bled them dry. Not anymore. They're not producing now, so they have to be dehumanised. But it's far deeper than that. Old people are wise. They have knowledge. They have understanding. They have tolerance. They have patience. They have love. They have a lot to say. They have a lot to teach us and young people. So you can't have that. You've got to interfere with that. And what's interesting is I've been lucky enough to travel in a few places. You don't see any evidence of this hostile attitude to senior citizens. You don't see it in countries where Islam is the dominant religion. You don't see it there. And I've travelled in North Africa, Morocco and elsewhere, other countries where Islam is the dominant religion. You don't see it. They revere the senior citizens of their countries. They love them. You don't see it in Spain and Portugal either. Of course, Spain had its history with Islam. I'm well aware of it. You don't see it in Latin American countries, where I've travelled as well, where elderly folks are treasured, admired, and are seen as a great resource. But we can't wait to get rid of them in this country, and in the Republic of Ireland, and in the West, and in Europe. Can't wait to get rid of them. Get them out, get them into a home. Or complain about the fact that they're living too long. They're blocking beds in hospitals. It's their fault that we voted to leave the European Union. Older people voted to leave the European Union because older people know what the European Union really is. Good stuff by the BBC that today. It was a bit of a colour piece, yes, but it's a very serious issue. Reconnect with people in your neighbourhood or even, you know, in your family. We were very lucky, Caroline and myself, that until recently, there was an amazing lady living next door to us called Dorothy, who, 96, she'd been living on her own for many, many years. Her husband died years ago. She used to work as a teller in a bank until she retired in, I think, in the late 1980s. But a remarkable lady. Absolutely compos mentis. Had amazing conversations with her about life and the world and happiness and love and politics and everything. And she basically sold her house and bought for herself a... the remaining years. She's basically decided to spend her remaining years in a very plush nursing home because she began to forget switching stuff off. And she said to me, Richie, I'm worried about it. And it's about time now. I'm 96. This is an amazing home I'm going to go to. Lap of luxury. I'm going to look after myself. I'm going to be looked after there. And I'm going to go there. And I thought, what a resource. What a font of knowledge and information. But of course, the system doesn't want that. They want to create disconnects or breaks between the generations. And we are seeing the dehumanisation and the marginalisation of senior citizens. When it's not the young dudes that have all the news, it's the old folks. It's the old folks. Just before I finish on that, Gail has tweeted me. Richie, my young lad, 16 years of age, loved volunteering at a local old folks home. He sat chatting and playing games and helping with their meal times. I expect he's not the only one either. He had to stop because they didn't do a C or B. He was there 5 months. You got to tell me what a C or B is, Gail. I am tired at the end of the week. Maybe I should know what that is. But I'm not surprised that when exposed to the warmth and the generosity of senior citizens, that the young lad loved it. Not surprised because my... teenage years were spent knowing senior citizens, older people, retirees from Waterford Crystal, the great glass factory from Waterford, people I knew, older people in their 70s and 80s. I used to go to a rugby club, a social club in Waterford City in Parnell Street that was frequented by men and women in their 80s, and I never enjoyed anything as much as sitting there listening to these people talk. Very important that. That's it for the programme. Thanks for bearing with me. I was planning to do like 90 minutes or something, but I couldn't get anybody that I wanted to come on the programme to speak with me today. And I'm not just going to invite any old tosh onto the programme for you. So we've had a good hour of news there. Thanks for listening to it. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to repeat this at 7 p.m. UK time this evening, and it'll repeat on a loop as well. Thanks for spending some of your Friday afternoon with me. Andy tweets, us older people remember the good times before we joined the fascist EU. Thanks for that, Andy. Thanks to Simon for looking after the YouTube channel. Thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and don't forget to join me at 11 a.m. UK time Sunday morning for Sunday View. That's Sunday View. Look after yourselves and one another, right? Gonna leave you with The Cure. Bye for now. See you Sunday. Have a great weekend. Bye. Wednesday, break my heart. Oh, Thursday.
doesn't even start. It's Friday, I'm in love. Saturday, wait. And Sunday always comes too late. But Friday, never hesitate. I don't care if Monday's black, Tuesday, Wednesday, heart attack.